Hi, we're Visible, the wireless company with nothing to hide. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not into you. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez Brownlee.
And I'm Andrew Manganelli.
And it is Techtember. It is Techtember for sure. So our schedule is pretty much out of control. We've got a ton of videos that we're working on. There's a bunch of videos that have already gone up on the channel. There's a bunch of tech in the studio. It's just everything's happening. It's like this every year before the holiday season. But we wanted to do a little bit of an adjustment to our little recap.
Yeah.
We usually do like a big old content recap of every video on the channel, go back through everything. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to shorten that up a bit. We've loved the feedback you guys gave us on Twitter, where we don't want to waste your time if you've seen the videos already.
Yeah, exactly. So. We just had a couple of people saying like, oh, I watch all the videos and then listen to the podcast, and it winds up being just a lot of the same stuff already, which it's kind of hard for us because we've talked about how this was a way we could expand some conversation as well from stuff from the videos that we didn't get to cover. But at the same time, like, yes, sometimes we were just recapping stuff and not adding anything new.
Yeah, so we don't want to double down on anything. If there is more conversation to be had about stuff, we'll have it, and that'll be the fun part. But our recaps will be pretty short, just like this. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, since the last time we talked, Galaxy Z Fold 2 unboxing from Arizona and the review of the full phone. We had the Motorola Razr unboxing and first impressions, the second one, so we have a new Razr. We had a Surface Duo review, breaking down everything, finally turning the thing on and talking software, talking tech with Mark Zuckerberg, mainly diving into VR and AR and the future of holograms in your living room. And lastly, Apple Watch Series 6, first impressions and unboxing, along with a little bit of Apple Watch SE. There we go.
Yeah, and I think like we're going to keep doing just that quick recap just in case, you know, maybe you had a busy week and you're commuting when you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I missed this. I really wanted to hear about the Apple Watch, or I really wanted to see a Surface Duo review. So now if you missed on the channel, you can go back, watch everything on the channel. And of course, if we have another fun story like the Fold unboxing in Arizona, like
there will be more.
We will recap stuff like that. That honestly, also talking about feedback, has been like some of the best feedback we've ever gotten. So we appreciate everyone out there letting us know what you think. I think that was a really fun episode.
All about the tweets.
Yeah, we love reading that stuff, and it made us happy. That was a fun episode.
Yeah, so now we have a little more room to do. I want to do the stuff we liked section. Mm-hmm. We've always talked like either content you liked or maybe you got some piece of tech you really liked. What do we have this week that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I have a product I liked this week.
I'm about products. I like products.
Yeah, and I think like I feel like some people see me as the person who talks about gaming stuff on the channel. So
go on.
Here's some more gaming things. I've been super, super like stubborn to ever go to a wireless mouse for gaming because I've always just heard bad things about it. And when I tried them years ago, there was definitely like a latency issue.
It seems sacrilegious every time I hear about wires and wireless in the gaming world. Everyone seems to just default, do it wired. No one wants anything wireless in gaming. And to me, that was always backwards because wouldn't you want wireless tech to get so good that you don't need a wire? But hey,
I guess it runs that thing, though. You want it to be so good that it doesn't need a wire. I don't think there was anyone who was like, I prefer a cable, but they were, it's not worth 5 or 6 millisecond like latency stuff like that. That
I guess that's just what it sounded like to me. It's like everyone is so anti-wireless in gaming.
I think it's just like, I want the competitive advantage that I can't handle that little minute thing. I mean, I think when I use the MX Master at work, I think to myself, like, if I use this for gaming, I would be miserable. Like,
can
this
you
just
feel
feels...
the lag in the MX Master? Performance MX? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think now I want you to try.
Yeah, because I'm also on the Apple display. It's a 60 hertz display. It's a normal
wireless
mouse.
Yeah, that might be
a
little bit of it as well.
You're very used to a high refresh rate monitor with a wired mouse. I'm curious if the difference you're noticing is the high refresh rate monitor and
it
not
might be.
The wired to wireless.
It might be. It's also like a bit of just like the feel for a game and the controls. So when you like use something, like, if I know if I were using it with MX Master, I would 100% feel the difference, even if it wasn't a super competitive game. I just know, even like when we used to do Rocket League on the PlayStation, when I started playing Rocket League with a wired controller on my computer at home,
it was faster.
It was miles. Like you, when you get so used to Rocket League, you're like, you have to time all the shots and stuff like that. And I was just completely over or under whiffing when I came back to PS4.
Interesting. Okay, so you found something wireless?
Yeah, I haven't even talked about the product yet. I tweeted that I was thinking of finally doing it because I've been playing Valorant a ton, which has changed the way I use my mouse. I use it at a way lower sensitivity, which means if you need to make a big move, you need to move your hand way further. And no matter how I set up the mouse with the bungee, I would either at some point have too much slack and you would feel it like dragging, which is annoying, or you'd have not enough slack. And if you move too far to one side, you'd pull the whole mouse bungee with you and everything.
Yikes.
So I asked Twitter, all right, everyone, thinking of finally diving into a wireless mouse. What should I go for? And it was overwhelmingly telling me to use the Logitech G Pro Lightspeed, which I've heard a million things about. I think almost every pro and every streamer probably uses it in all these competitive games. And it's just really hard to justify spending $130 on a mouse.
Yeah.
Especially when it's not even, I only use my computer at home really for gaming. So it's just purely a gaming mouse.
Now, you know what? I'll push back on that. I think I want to spend the most on the best quality of the point of interaction that you can't avoid. So for me, on a computer, it has to have a great screen. Don't cheap out on the screen. It's the only thing I'm looking at. The case can be ugly. The cables can be ugly, but I'm looking at the screen. For a phone, it's like the same thing. I think if you're a gamer, you have to have a good mouse. Like, you got to spend money on the mouse, right?
You could think of it also in terms of sports. Like, we play Ultimate Frisbee. Like, I'm never going to cheap out on a pair of cleats because I know that's like one thing that I want to feel the most like part of me when I'm playing. Because if I'm paying attention to, oh, my cleats don't fit, or the spikes are like the patterns messed up, or I'm blowing through it, everything else feels off. So I finally just spent the $130.
Okay.
Brought it home. I even set up a stream for this to test it out because I just wanted to. It's always weird. You change to anything you're used to and things are going to be way different. And I thought it was going to take a while to get used to. Plugged it in, set my DPI right, got all my sensitivity down pat to how I wanted it to kind of make up for the feeling difference. And I am in love with it.
Whoa, just that's very like positive.
I'm so sad it took me this long. It's one of those, I had a Glorious Model O before, and it's a great mouse, looks good, feels great. Even they do something with the wire to make it be less annoying, but it just got to the point where it was too annoying. And now I just don't want to use anything else. I'm gushing over this mouse, and it's like, it feels so weird to be that adamant about a product, but man, Logitech just knows what they're doing. I've used their mice in the past. I used the G303, which they discontinued, and I was really bummed about. But I get why. I don't get why you'd ever go back to that if you use this.
I mean, if I talk about Logitech for more than about a minute, I mean, it all comes down to how good they are at mice. They do a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
They do headphones. They do keyboards. They do accessories. But their mice have been top of the game in a couple departments. Like, almost every YouTuber, video editor, reviewer I know uses a Performance MX.
Yeah.
And nobody told us to. Nobody, like, independently was like, have you recommended it? It's like, we all just found this mouse on our own, and we all love this mouse. Mm-hmm. And that's a Logitech thing. I had issues with it. I tried other mice. I went back to it when I fixed the issues, and there's just nothing close. So
it's one of those things where you, like, they're the big company. Logitech's the company you think of when you think of mice, especially gaming mice. They're like really high up there for companies that do just gaming peripherals in general. But you want these smaller companies to succeed, and you use them, and you're like, this is great. And then you go back to a company that's been doing research and development on this for like 20 years, and you're like, I see the difference. Yeah, that's it. Glorious is making a wireless mouse coming up, but I'm sorry, I don't think I'm gonna.
Already sold.
I'm just so sold on this mouse right now.
All right.
Yeah. So that's my.
There it is.
That's me gushing over.
We'll have a link in the description below. Check it out if you want it.
Do you have any content or any products?
Oh,
you've
I do.
Been a fan of. Oh yeah.
Oh, I do.
What is it?
Shout out to all the LG fanboys out there.
Okay.
I am so curious about this LG Wing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so how did I not write this in our notes at all
I just need to break down what happened this week. So we've, you know, LG, they've had their own like on and off in the past with smartphones and flagships and other things like that. They tried modular. They've tried a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. But one thing they never really do is just follow directly in the footsteps of what the big guys are doing.
No, they don't.
We saw folding screens, we saw folding displays, we saw foldable this, foldable that. LG said, nah, dual screen. We'll have a case with a screen on it, mm-hmm. and then you can take it on and off. And like, to be fair, I didn't really give it that much light of day because it wasn't that much high-tech, super interesting stuff there, but mm-hmm. I did use it, and it was pretty interesting. Not the best experience, but that's LG. They don't follow in the footsteps of others. So in their quest of the alternate form factor, they this week announced LG Wing. And this is a podcast, so I have to describe this thing now.
Yeah, I think we did talk about it a little tiny. There was an original leak photo months ago that we mentioned.
Right.
But now getting to see
so now it's,
how they're selling it.
They did a live stream, and there's a couple videos out there. They had Lou from Unbox Therapy. They mm-hmm. had Austin Evans. So those guys have the phone, and they were part of the broadcast and everything, so they got one. But I haven't seen anyone anywhere else. But, here's the phone. Imagine a regular smartphone, 6.8-inch, pretty tall, I think a 21.5x9, curved displays, OLED. I think it's a 60 hertz 1080p OLED, right? Looks like a normal phone. But it's a little thicker than normal, and you can swivel that smartphone screen to the top, and it like snaps, and there's, you know those soft closed doors?
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of like a Sidekick where it would just snap right out to the top,
yeah.
It snaps almost all the way out and then like slowly finishes sliding.
Yeah. Actually caught that in the video
before they even mentioned it. You could see it happening.
It's interesting because it makes it look like it's not doing it as fluidly as it should, because like it flips and then slows down. But then if you really think about it, like if I have moving parts, I want that to be safe when it's doing it.
That is a big moving part.
Yeah,
too.
It's a lot. So,
but wait, I'm not done.
Yeah.
I'm not done. So not only does that swivel out,
mm-hmm.
but that part that you're holding in the bottom now also has a squarish, I think it's a square display.
It might be a little taller, but
squarish.
Yeah.
There's a small display, like a 3.5-inch display underneath another OLED that is an additional screen behind it. So when you swivel that screen out on the top, you get that additional display, and now you're holding a T-shaped phone. They call it the Wing. I don't know, you could have called it almost anything at this point, and you have my attention. Now, I tweeted, I can't wait to see how they justify
mm-hmm.
this form factor over others, right? The natural thought was watching a video on the top screen, texting on the bottom screen, right? Okay, that I get. Then they got really creative. So they had a bunch of other like dual screen apps where like you could have a phone call on the bottom screen, but you are using a selfie camera in the top screen to like put makeup on. You're watching a video in the top screen, but mm-hmm. You're doing other, you know, browsing on Twitter in the bottom screen. A bunch of two apps happening at once, that happened. But one thing I didn't realize is, and when they did this in the reveal, I was kind of like, oh, I didn't even think about that. They turned it sideways.
Yeah.
So now it's a sideways T, and that main screen is vertical again, and you can sort of mount that side screen with the letter T. So it's like navigation on the big screen and a phone call on the little screen.
Yeah, I think I like my biggest problem with them continually showing a phone call on one of the screens is like, it's just unnecessary. Nobody needs to look at a phone call.
That's true. You don't need a separate screen to look at your phone call.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But in terms of navigation, the one thing I thought was kind of neat was having, so now, what is the best way to describe it? An uppercase T that is sideways. So
yeah.
Now at this point, you really have like a portrait mode phone with like halfway in the middle of it, a square just like coming off the side of it. So exactly. This is like a 1.5 screen phone.
Yeah.
And then I liked when they put like Spotify or something on there so you can see like your playlist or songs that are playing or just
something
like
a little more that needs a visual. Like even for me right now, when I'm driving and I'm navigating, my Spotify is in the background and I already know what the next song in the playlist is. But that maybe you want to see the art and you want to swipe and like mess with the music.
Or even sometimes you just want to, you know, you're in a playlist you listen to all the time. It's on shuffle and maybe the next song isn't something you want to listen to. So instead of waiting like 3 seconds for the song to start playing, especially if it's a song that takes a couple seconds to really like amp up, I can just then see, skip it. Oh, it's the song. I don't want to listen to that right now. Skip it.
Yeah.
It's super basic, but like that's what phones are solving these days. Super basic little problems that just make your life that much easier. And apparently flipping a phone into a T is
LG, if you're listening, I would love to check this out. I need to get my hands on this. There were a couple other questionable things in that presentation. Like the car mount that they showed was like a vertical clamp, because I don't know any car mount that is supposed to hold like a vertical study instead of horizontal. You know what I mean? So it's holding the top and the bottom of the phone instead of the left and the right.
It's funny that it's holding as if the phone were horizontal, which is funny. So like, it's a mount that would be holding a phone like if you used your phone in landscape mode all the time, because then the portrait mode is off to the side away from that and facing upwards.
So I wasn't so sure if my car mounts that I'd have to get a new car mount to do.
That's not
to take
a big
advantage
deal.
Of that.
A lot of people have to get new car mounts for
different phones. Another thing you'd have to get a new thing is a case. You know, the case situation is probably like you get protection on the back, but then
like a bumper on the top or something?
Yeah, maybe a bumper on the top. I was also wondering about the screen specs itself. I don't think I know if it is 1080p 60 hertz. I just know it's a P OLED and it's 21.5x9. So I'm looking forward to seeing more specs and actually using the thing, seeing if it's good. And another thing we didn't get is a price.
That I think is going to be a big difference.
That to me is the most interesting part, because LG, for again, all of this not following in the footsteps stuff, is also typically undercutting a lot of the big stuff. You see a $2,000 folding phone from Samsung. You see a $1,600, $1,500, $1,400 folding phone from Microsoft, from Motorola. And then LG Velvet, with the dual screen case, I think is under $700.
Or $750 when it started. I know the G8X was like $500 at first with the case. So it's like,
so they can make a case. You can say, oh, it's not the best solution, but it's definitely not the most expensive solution.
It's something that I've been confused with about, because I always mention how like those cases, those dual screen cases, they're an accessory, like this phone
optional accessory.
Not talking about the Wing, talking about Velvet with the screen, or G8X with the screen, or V60 with the screen. Like that is an optional accessory and the phone is not totally built around that, so it's going to work. It's not going to work as fluidly as like a Surface Duo or a Fold 2, but it's gonna be way cheaper and it's still an accessory, and if you don't want something that thick, you can pull it off. It has its own pros and cons. I just don't think the comparison between the two of them is just fair.
It only compares if you're just counting how many screens it has, but other than that it's a different form factor.
But then the Wing is now something that has to be like this all the time, so they're clearly going to be developing it purely like for that, and
it's all
hopefully
built in.
Have optimization for that. And it's,
so here's my theory.
Okay.
I think they're going to undercut again. I've heard some, like, everyone's, you know, there's rumors and maybe it'll be 1,000, maybe it'll be 1,200. I think this can be under $1,000. I think this can be a $900 phone, because I'm seeing P OLED, 1080p, 60 hertz, cheap panel. I'm seeing, like, a pretty average, like, set of specs, and I think it's even a 765G.
Yeah,
and like
that is one thing they said.
Yeah, not a bleeding edge amount of like RAM or anything crazy with the storage. I don't think it has to be water resistant. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's not screaming bleeding edge high tech. All they really have to do is make a sweet hinge, and the software development to sort of optimize that dual screen experience. Depends on how much they want to charge for all that engineering of the software experience, but I think hardware-wise, it's not that expensive of a phone.
And I think what's super beneficial about that is right now, if you want to use a new form factor, you're paying for it. And you're paying for it by the price, and you're losing some things. Like you said, waterproofing, like none of these new form factors have something so simple like that, or like lower specs, like Surface Duo doesn't have all the top specs right now either. So if they can though take that, and then you're getting to try a new form factor while also not paying over $1,000 to almost be like a tester, that's super interesting. And I think more people will go for that. They don't have to, since the screen doesn't actually fold, they don't have to have any crazy like technologies in that.
Exactly.
It's going to be way more based on how well they optimize the two things together and how much that solves people's problems. And, you know, I'm all for pushing the boundaries and taking a risk on stuff like this, because it's going to make phones way more fun. Mr. Mobile always says like phones are getting fun again.
Yeah.
It's hard to see it right now and think like that's going to benefit me somehow.
Yeah, there's got to be different ways of doing everything. Yeah. Like I've made this comparison with electric cars, but like with a folding phone, it doesn't have to be a folding screen. We have folding to the outside. We have folding to the inside. We have dual screen. We have the 360 hinge. We have all these different ways to do it. To me, the wing is another chapter in LG's think different. They probably have a whole like think different like mentality over there, where they look at what's out there and they go, well, we're not doing that, even though the back looks exactly like the S20 or the Note 20. But they think, okay, we're not doing that, but we're going to find a way to do it a little better or a little cheaper or a little different in order to differentiate ourselves. Because at the end of the day, they're not really competing in the world of $1,000 phones the way the behemoths, the Samsungs and Apples basically are. So I'm very curious for Wing. We'll see about price and getting it in our hands, but it's wild.
If every company right now is coming out with a fold and LG throws the Wing out, I want to see their prototyping lab so bad. I cannot imagine what is there.
Oh,
because
my
just
God.
Like, you know,
it's just sidekicks.
If everybody else is, what other ideas did they come up with? If they were just like,
yeah,
we don't want to do the fold right now, technology's not there, everybody else is trying it, we want to differentiate ourselves, go make something cool. I would kill to see what some of the other ideas.
I want
to
see the 6-month old prototype that didn't make it, that wasn't good enough
that
to be the
like
Wing. Oh my God.
Flings off of the body of the phone when you flip it up.
Yeah.
But this is kind of interesting. We've talked about, so right now we have a bunch of folding phones in the office, but we were thinking between Vin, Brandon, and I don't think any of us have used a folding phone. Brandon may have for a little bit.
I think he tried to use the Fold 1 for a little while.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah.
So as three people who now have not used it, we're thinking of potentially dividing up three of them when we're done with the reviews of it, and all of us would have to use it for a week or two so we can get kind of an idea of what.
So we should have each one of you using a different folding phone at the same time.
Yeah, so probably Fold 2, Duo, and then one of the clamshells, so Z Flip or
Razer.
Split it up between the three of us. If Brandon's used the Fold, then we'll give him one of the other ones that he hasn't used. And it just might bring all of us on the podcast, talk about how it changed some of the ways we do things.
Yeah.
And because now you've used one before. So get a perspective of someone like doing this for the first time. Like we are now.
Gotcha.
We skip first generation. Let's see what it's like
to dive
going
right
straight
in.
Into something that's a little more polished and
that's
not
fair.
Just
that's
ripping
actually
the screen off first.
A really good point is most people getting a folding phone, when they eventually do, will not have had experience with four or five other folding phones of various generations.
Even one
and
at
states
this,
of completeness. So yeah. But you know what? Speaking of first gen folding phones, we actually did have a chat with Panos Panay, the chief product officer of Microsoft, who's of course a big part of the launch of the Surface lineup and the Surface Duo. He's kind of described it as his baby, his child, to the maybe slight chagrin of his actual children, but that's okay. It's a really fun interview, and we're gonna get to it right after the break, but we talk a lot about Surface Duo and the choices they made with it and why they ended up doing what they did. We shot that before my review published, so that's the context of it. But yeah, we'll take a quick break, we'll come back, and then we'll listen to that.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from NetSuite. Let's do some quick math. So the less your business spends on operations or multiple systems, the more margin you'll have, and that equals more money in your pocket. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, I mean, everything seems to cost more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. So NetSuite is a leading cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. And so you can reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. So you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. So head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform. netsuite.com/waveform.
All right, welcome back. So before we get into this Panos interview, this is kind of Andrew from the future. I've already edited it, and I just want to let you know the audio is, it's off. He didn't wear headphones. There's a lot of Marquez talking through his speakers that it got picked up. So there's a lot of really precise editing I had to do here. And obviously, since people talk over each other once in a while, it's not all perfect. So just please bear with us. There's a lot of noise and distraction. I promise you, if an edit sounds kind of off, it was most likely to try and save your ears from some type of glitchy noise or something like that. So just go into it knowing the audio is not going to be perfect. Thanks.
All right, Panos Panay, welcome to the Waveform Podcast. So glad to have you on. You're a busy guy, so I know.
Thanks.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get the busiest people and the busiest of times on here, but you have, I think, some of the most interesting perspective in this time that we're in, where at the moment, honestly, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm reviewing three different folding phones at the same time right now. It's a weird world.
That's funny. That's a trip. Yeah. You have a purview. Let me share something with you before you jump too far in. You should know that when you unboxed Duo, which I assume we'll talk about with folding phones in just a minute, I didn't watch it through the channels that you would expect at Microsoft, because I try not to. Like it's hard for me because these are like my kids, you know, like these products, and so I wait a little bit and then I go after. But my kids were watching it. Like I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old, Marquez. Like you want to, like as a father and then of both a product and kids, and they were just hanging on every word you said. Like you should know the impact. And I was just they're huge fans. So this is a high pressure podcast. When you know you hit legendary status with those kids when you did your sneaker shopping, by the way. So if you're kind of wondering where it crossed the chasm, like when you met with Joe LaPuma and you went with Complex, do you remember that? Like when you, was that long ago? It wasn't that long ago.
Maybe a year. That was a fun time.
Yeah. Anyhow, just so you know, like it is an interesting time for sure. And I appreciate you having me on.
For sure. So I think a lot of people, when we think about folding phones, we think about like what's coming out right now, you know, comparing the couple of different options that are slowly first gen happening. But I would love to talk to you about the future versions of folding phones that you consider? Because when you work for Microsoft, I guess we should just back up and talk about that for a second, but you have a lot of vision and control over the goals of the product and where they start and where they go. So I guess let's just start with what your role is at Microsoft and what your input is with the Surface Duo I'm holding right now.
Yeah, so I'm the Chief Product Officer. That's the official title. I don't know necessarily how that translates, but ultimately responsible. You think about it as at the end of the day, hardware, software coming together, the product that you buy, the thing that is, you know, whether it's that object or it's maybe even a piece of end-to-end service and software coming together. But my responsibility is kind of stitch a lot of that together. I'm also, you know, I'm responsible for the Surface line and have a deep history there, and responsible for the Windows product line. So it's kind of got a, I get a general sense of almost everything across Microsoft, because at some point everything comes through these products, Windows and the device. Right. And so my responsibility is bring it together in an elegant way, and then look for future and where we should be taking things. And I get to play both sides of that, the now, Marquez, and then where we need to be. I like often talk about my role in this team. I have an amazing team, and that's where really it's a reflection of this team. But it is, we want to provide you with products, people with products that they can use now. We want to provide them with the tools they need in these products to get to where they want to go. And ultimately, we want to invent and create, so when people get to where they're going, there's a new kind of form that they can take to go change the world. And that's kind of my role.
Awesome. And also, because of your oversight in all of these different programs, you get to be often the one presenting this final product, which I think in this world of, let me tell you, of COVID times and presentations and virtual events, we keep a little power ranking on the podcast of like our favorite events and presentations. And I think your presentations, your passion is contagious, and it's also not something to overlook. So I'm glad that, you know, the product has such a great spokesperson for it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. One of the beliefs we have is we want the product makers to talk about the products. Like you at the last event, for the Duo event, you met Pavan, you met Shilpa, you met Jasmine. Like, these are the true product makers. I'm in the product every day as well, but ultimately, like, we want that reflection, because at the end of the day, these products are reflecting the people that make them. And you know, we do bring passion to the table. I want people to feel that. Like, there's a reality to what we use today. Like, when you pick up anything that you either think is beautiful or desirable or emotional, when you grab it, an object, you want to know that somebody put a ton of care into it. This is not just something simple and, you know, the next thing you took off the shelf. I think what we put into it, people get out of it, and we believe in that. But I appreciate your comment. And the teams work hard, not only obviously to make the product, but how we tell the story is really important to us.
Yeah. So I think it was about a year ago, maybe a little more, that I was out in Seattle, and you were showing me a year ago version of the Surface Duo. And yeah. And so we walked through that and got the first impressions and look at it. And it was actually a little bit of a different one that I think you had in your pocket versus the one that you shared with me. But at the end of the day, it has evolved over time into what you're able to give us now. What can you tell us about how Surface Duo and the idea of this foldable has changed over time to end up with this?
It's been many years, you know, Marquez. You saw a version of it, a little bit over a year ago, I think. And there's a few things. Like, the nuance in the product is, it's almost the stuff you can't see. It's the thinness, it's the weight, it's the balance when you're holding it, it's the way the hinge comes together, the way the two screens interact, the way the pixels line up. All that is like it's an iterative process. It's almost like generationally. Like, we started this program 5-6 years ago. This is not like we woke up and we were like, hey, I got an idea 12 months ago. Let's see what, let's pull some stuff together. Let's pull our best stuff together and see what comes out. And you start to realize, what are the things, what are the trade-offs? Where do you want to push the envelope? What do you leave behind to bring the elegance and emotion into the product? And if you're trying to create a new category, which this is what we're doing here, what are the trade-offs you have to make? So where it evolved is pretty interesting. You said foldable a few times. I think it's interesting. Like, I hear you talking about it, I go, oh, Yeah, it is a foldable, but it's a two-screen device. It's so different. Should be so different, I think, from the other foldables you picked up. And it's intentional.
Yeah.
It's intentionally that. We looked at every tech, I would say, that I think a company can look at, from inventing to also partnering. And, you know, we watched. We had a single-screen device that folded, but it was just a little too clunky, a little too thick. It wasn't as elegant as it could be. The radii were challenging. We needed 360 degrees on a product, with, you know what I mean by that, where I can fold it all the way out.
Yeah.
And so there were so many elements that were critical to what we believed was, here's the purpose of the product. And then once you get to that critical nature of it, which then we got into thinness, weight, the hinge perfection, the feel of open and close, something that felt premium, and then most important, lit up the brain. In other words, got you to be as productive as you possibly could, get you more information at a time where all we're doing is looking for information. And then when you were done getting that information, just close it and put it down and shut down your mind for a few minutes and see if you can kind of, you know, get some of your semblance of life back, if you will. And so all those come into play, and the history kind of evolved. Like, it wasn't thin enough. Single screen just didn't work. The radii didn't work. It had to fit in the pocket. When it got too small, it just pick up a phone. Why not? Like, and so you see that, Marquez, over the product making process, and it ends to the thing you have now in hand. And I don't think it's, when I say ends, that's, it results in the thing you have in hand. And I think it's the beginning of what's next. And that's where the team kind of puts its energy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You talk about the trade-offs that every device has some level of trade-offs to achieve what you end up with. And it's interesting to hear you talk about, you need the 360 hinge, sounds like was a core thing you definitely wanted to do from the beginning. The thinness, the lightness, were there certain things that you found that you had to sacrifice on or that you couldn't do? You mentioned you tried, you know, a single screen that folds. What were the sort of sacrifices?
Original design, like, great example is, you know, we had a camera bump on the back of it. We had a big camera. We had the high res. We had an AI associated to it. We were going to go tackle the competitive camera wave of on phones. And then at some point you step back and you realize at 360 degrees, you end up with a wedge. When you have a wedge, that won't make it in your pocket. What if somebody wanted it backwards? Is the purpose of this product to take great, the best photos on the planet? Or was it to be most productive when these two screens were open? And when you get to that point, you start to realize, wow, you're trading off so many things to tackle what I would say is a feature that somebody specifically wanted. Where this product was not made for that feature. It was made to be more productive. It was made for two screens. So it's a great example. Original design had a huge camera bump in the back of it. It just did. I don't think I've ever shared that.
I think actually we have footage of in our video, there's the one I'm playing with no camera bump, but also the one you pulled out of your pocket that did have a camera bump. So it's in our video, actually.
And so we had both. Like, you iterate and you go through. You're right. And so years before that, was just obvious. Of course there's a camera. So when you close it, you take a picture. I'm like, wait, hold on. that's the conventional way to run down something. And I totally get it. Don't get me wrong. But you think I'm looking forward to the review that's like, I can't believe it's $1,400. It doesn't have an incredible camera. Like, I'm not looking forward to that. Like, I got it. Like, but I also look forward to, but I also opened Instagram and Twitter at the same time, or I had YouTube while I was texting and I was having a conversation with somebody while watching a video. Like watch one of your reviews while you're telling a friend what you're seeing. Like, there's something super powerful about that in your pocket, as opposed to having to sit at the desk to do it, which is what's happening. And right. That element of connection to the product, that element of connection to being able to accomplish more things, kind of in an easier way where the brain lights up, is where it won. But it's a good example. Like, you know, look at this is open. This is how I carry my device most of the time, where I have the screens available to me at all times. Yeah, it's a really difficult situation when it's wedged because there's something in between it. And, you know, we learned that. And it is one of the examples of a pretty important trade-off. Same with size, like how, you know, if it got too small, it just looked like two phones glued together. Trust me. It wasn't that exciting. And so there are a lot of little things like that, but I think camera is probably the most fun to talk about. And it's the one I get asked about most, Marquez. You got to know that. Like, first thing, like, of course, when you buy a premium phone, I'm like, well, that's why you buy a premium phone. So, like, do it. Like, if that's what you needed and that was your, and that's what you wanted, you were out to get a camera and there was a phone associated to it. There's incredible products out there.
Yeah, I think, and I think a lot of what you just said, you haven't seen it yet. At the time we're recording, the reviews aren't out yet, but in my review, I talk about almost everything you just mentioned and the target audience for this device and things like that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, sorry. So this comes out after your review probably, right? So this will sound
nice. Yes.
Yeah, good to call it out. Yeah, I haven't seen Marquez's review. I'm not even insinuating anything. I know, like, believe me, like the first question I get after people go, holy, this is amazing. Where's the camera? I'm like, well, fold it back and take a photo. It's a great shot. You want a good picture? You can take a picture. You want a great selfie? Hey, here's an insight. The front-facing camera is pretty critical to us. Because when you think about why you're building a product, you're, in this case, you want to be more productive. I want you on a Teams call or a Zoom call and on the other screen. Whether you're playing poker with your friends and you're, you know, having a connection point with two screens, or you're having a meeting and you want to see what's on the other side, or you are bored and you just want to browse, like that front-facing camera was pretty important. And you kind of see that. And eventually there'll be more features that are added to it. We're putting eye gaze into Duo a lot like we've done with the rest of the Surface product line. So you'll just connect eye to eye on a phone is pretty good. Like that idea is so emotional. And so you start to see that. So that front-facing camera, I would say we didn't compromise relative to what it was being used for and the associated software that drives it. But it, and if you want to take a great photo, you still can, Marquez. It's just a question of, you know, what your desire is at that level.
And I also want to touch back on when we visited you guys in Seattle last fall, you showed us, a lot of the time I use this device, I'm thinking about my desktop because I sit in front of two screens. And I, the reason I sit in front of two screens and not one ultra wide screen is because that compartmentalization that I'm just so used to, where I divide up my workspaces, translates really well to this. And something you guys showed us in Seattle was like these labs where you're literally analyzing brain activity of people using the device and productivity and figuring out that flow. How much did that research actually translate into changes that you made on the device itself?
Huge. It played into a ton of it. So a couple of things. The difference between a single screen where you're trying to manage things yourself and multitask and so forth on the brain when you're watching it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, my printer is going off in my office. Apologize. But the two screens side by side. It played in a massive role. Where we thought the breaking point of thinness played a massive role. Because, you know, when you're studying brainwaves and you're kind of looking, I'm not the expert here, but boy, we have some incredibly talented people. But I get to see the data, we have the conversation at multiple meetings, and it does inform the product. Ultimately, what we found was, just like when you're at your desk and you have two screens working, when you open up Duo and two screens side by side with a seam and two things happening at the same time, not only is your brain kind of, you're firing and you're being more productive and you can get more done, it's actually with less stress. That was it. Like, you want like gold in my mind, like, whoa. And so what we're finding actually with people who use Duo for a longer period of time, there's a learning curve on this product, Marquez. Like, when you first use it, you're like, ah. And then first read is beautiful. Second read is learning to use and I'm not sure. Third read, 2 weeks later, you're living with it. You're like, oh my goodness, how did I work with one screen? That feeling, it comes from that combination of I can do more and it's fun, or it's easier. And when you hand somebody two tasks, as an example, where you're studying, and you saw this in the lab, which is very cool. I almost forgot about that. You hand somebody two tasks and you say, get it done on a single screen and two screens. You can literally just watch how it. This is a simple, it's just like a simple study. It's complex in nature if you have to understand the brain, but you start to see it like, wow, it's not only is it easier, it's delightful. And we found that. And that's a driver in the difference between when you say a folding screen that just opens here versus two screens side by side, which kind of goes into our history of Windows and what people can do with Multimon. And it really translates really well. And so we kind of see that, and it's been fun to learn and part of the process of making a product.
Yeah, I can say for sure the learning curve I've witnessed in my weeks of using it, where like now, far more often I'm willing to pull out the Surface Duo and attack email and calendar at the same time. And that's something I kind of hate doing on my phone. Like I'm just not a fan, but I'm far more willing to do it when I have that that division of workspace.
It's the context switching that's costly. Like you're going in and out. You're actually context switching as well, and it's costing you cycles and energy. And ultimately, you put it side by side, and it's almost the delight is it's all available to you, and you start to feel it. We love that. Like I love hearing you say it. You know what's funny is I debated with the team giving you a product for a lot longer. But the software is still evolving in the sense of then there's another build coming that you don't have yet. And ultimately, it's getting to that point of awesome. But if I give it to you too soon and you got to deal with more bugs like I did, early on. And now you can kind of see the product is stable and delightful and it just keeps getting better. And so is this trade-off. Like, when do we hand it to you, especially for somebody who had already seen it? Because there's a lot of folks that had not seen it. They may have saw it in your video and they maybe saw it on stage with me, but they hadn't put their hands on it. You got as close to it as anyone early on, and it would have been fun. But we believe the more time you have with the device, the harder it is to live without it. And I think that's a pretty good sign for any product we make.
So I have a question for you that I think you are probably one of the only people equipped to answer, which is, where do you see Surface Duo, and I called it a foldable, but you can call it kind of whatever you want, but where do you see this Surface Duo product in 5 to 10 years' time? What are some technologies that, wow, if only I could have fit this, or if only we could have also included this, then it would be perfect. Like, where is this headed?
You're so close to asking me what my roadmap is, so it's a dangerous answer. You've been in our lab. You've kind of seen the way we operate. We push boundary here, as you know, on hinge and thinness, because we wanted a starting point, not an ending point on that. But think of Moore's Law, this product, that it applies. At the end of the day, product will continue to evolve from thinness. At some point, there's a point of diminishing returns, as you can kind of imagine. But it in size, you will start to see different types of screens. I think in 5 years, the opportunity to blend folding and two screens next to each other and then bring that delight to folks with the emotional connection is real. But also the integration of deeper AI and AR and these products will be real. I'm going to 5 years on you. I'm not, because I got to be very careful not to give you a, here's what the future products are, and then people are like, oh.
People would love that.
I bet they would. But I don't think, I think this is the beginning of the form factor for not just Microsoft. Like if you said, Panos, what did you write down? Here's what I wrote down in the sense of vision. Let's go create this form factor. And the more companies who adopt it and take it and run with it, the more excited we should all be. And so, maybe that's a little different because as Microsoft, we get this opportunity to refine. Sorry, my dogs are going crazy. You get to refine Microsoft 365. You get this opportunity to evolve all the portions of Microsoft software and services that show up on Android. And they just get better. And the more companies that take that, the more hardware manufacturers, if you will, I don't even know what to call, competitors, partners, take it and run with it. Like the more I would celebrate. And I actually believe, Marquez, this is it. Like people will find themselves more productive on this product. And over time, that'll only get better. And I think that future form factor, like we need more from products that are in our pockets. We need more from them. You can argue, I can do everything, I can do anything, but you're starting to see even during COVID time, if you ask if you have kids like me, I think 3 months ago, and remember what I do, I'm part of Windows and Surface. You ask the kids, like, do you need a PC? They're like, I'm fine with my phone. I can do everything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the world changed very quickly, and that responsibility and understanding of how much you can get done. But I think Duo is a form factor that starts to bleed into that world of the phone evolved. And I think that can be transformative. And we believe it's a category that extends itself. I hope, I will other companies to go after it. I think it's a worthwhile opportunity for folks.
Yeah, I have a theory that I'll bounce you off your ears and leave you with this, and you can tell me what you think. So my theory for Surface Duo is the dual screen form factor is awesome right now, and it will continue to be. And when you have this hinge, that you can't achieve this form factor with the folding display tech that's out right now. But sometime, exactly, not yet. So sometime in the future, when that tech gets better and better, it will get thin enough and good enough that you can do this awesome form factor with the awesome, like, all-around wraparound screen and have that, like, new stunning design. And sometime in that future timeline in my brain, the tech has gotten that good, and Surface Duo eventually does have a folding screen and takes all the best from that form factor, too.
I would bet on you. Like, we see that path. We see that, but you can't jump there too soon. Like, you know, to create great ink, to create the 360, to create the hinge, to create the elegant feel, like, these things matter. Like, that's an emotional connection that people need with these products. You pay a lot of money. You want it to be yours. You want it to be something special. You want it to be as thin and as powerful as can be. But I'm with you. Like, there's an opportunity of how that technology evolves, what screens will be in 3 years, 5 years, especially 5 years from now, are very different than what they are now. But the anchoring point is the experience and two screens and how you evolve from getting smaller to larger and putting productivity in your pocket. I think it's going to matter to us, Marquez. It's going to matter to all of us. And, like, the more productive we can be, the more fun we can have, the more we can consume, the more we can engage with the people we love and care about and want to connect with. Like, it all kind of pays back into accomplishment. And so your vision's not wrong. And if you want to come hang out in the labs, you should do that, because I think I'd take it now. You know, I'm happy
I'll
to
take you up on that.
Happy to write down the patent that you invent for sure and attribute it to you. But I could definitely use some perspective.
Man, if it's anything like the anechoic chamber we spent a few minutes in, I would happily spend plenty of time out there.
How did you do with that, by the way? Like, oh, like, it's deafening, right? It's so quiet. Like,
it's incredible. It's like, I'm recording this in our podcast studio, and our goal is make it as quiet as possible, get it as damp and as, you know, acoustically perfect as possible. And I think we've done a good job. And then I hang out there for a few minutes. I'm like, this is something.
You should do that. You should bring your podcast to the anechoic chamber and just we can set you up in there with no noise and just you. Might be interesting to see how that sounds. Like, it might be fascinating to pull it off.
100% would. I think, yeah. No, that's something we got to set up for sure.
All right, let's do it. Nobody's done that. That would be very cool. Like, the people we bring in there, like yourself, to see it, you get that moment in there. But when you watch a study being done, it's pretty mind-blowing. And then, you know, it would be interesting to see you talk in there. The other thing in there, there's no reverb, right? So you, as you're speaking, you can't really hear yourself speaking.
Right.
So, yeah. So, like, I don't know how you think, but if you need to hear yourself, it might be hard. It'd be interesting to test.
Yeah, it's a great conversation. I'll save it for when we're actually in there. But Panos, thank you so much for your time. I wouldn't want anyone else in charge of this program. I appreciate everything you do, and best of luck.
Hey, thanks to you, and thanks for just giving our team a chance to connect with you, Marquez. We love the work you do, so thanks for your support.
For sure.
All right, so that's been Panos Panay. Quick interview. We're going to take a break again and come back and talk about all the stuff we just learned from that conversation and more. Be right back.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust, members FDIC.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you got to do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So
1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password, and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier, so I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, welcome back. That was a fun conversation. I always like talking to people like that, like Panos specifically, because, you know, you can imagine asking someone in like PR, why does this device not have a great camera? And you could imagine an answer from a PR person of like, well, we thought really hard about this and we decided that, you know, it would be better for our users if we had this, blah, blah, blah. And I like that Panos can straight up admit, like, yeah, we wanted to put a good camera, but like we really had a focus here on the hinge. And now when you fold it over backwards, we thought it was more important. And like we can acknowledge both sides of which you would want.
And not only just acknowledging it, but like he talked about it first. You didn't even get to bring it up. And he was just like, I know you're going to say something about the camera. And this is what like a regular PR person would just be sitting there crossing their fingers and be like, don't mention the camera. Don't mention the camera. Don't mention the camera. And he's just... he's open about everything. So
I think it's also something we found out after when we were reviewing it. We had the dbrand skin on the back of it, just the pastel blue one for a little bit. And not only was it like, you know, when he had a camera bump on the back of his, it didn't fold flat and it was kind of a wedge and he didn't want to put it in his pocket that way. Even when I put the dbrand skin on the back, that just those two sheets of sticker basically were too thick to fold it completely flat on the back.
Yeah, like really close, but it wouldn't technically be all. So that's how precise it is.
It would be a 359 degree hinge, which isn't good enough. Not good enough for Microsoft. You want it to fold totally flat. And I think that's a big thing that I wish I had done more often is fold it over open and leave it open in my pocket.
Yeah, he mentions that's how he mostly carries the phone around. And at first you're like, oh, one of the reasons this folds is because it protects it all the time and I don't really need to worry about it. But we put screen out. A screen is always out in our regular phone, so why is it any
different
glass. For that?
Yeah, it'll survive. So I think that's something I would do more if I were to use it even more. But I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the second generation of this Duo because it's still pretty rough around the edges with this first
one. He mentioned that he doesn't want to go too deep into the roadmap for very, very obvious reasons, but he let you explain your prediction. Your prediction was in like 5 years, you thought it might come to the point of having a foldable screen.
Right.
If I were to be a betting man for almost anybody who is a large entity at a tech company, I would assume the answer would say, we're totally fine with two screens. It focuses on productivity. We like our hinge more. That is our focus, and just completely skip the question of folding screen. And instead he was like, I would bet on you.
Right. Yeah. That's another not PR answer.
Like it seems very much like, yes, they're interested in a folding screen. It doesn't work to the specifications they have right now and doesn't fit in that form factor, but it's something they're looking into. So I honestly thought going into that, he would mention something about like maybe another Microsoft product in the future that would have a folding screen, but Duo is always going to be this two very distinct screen thing. And, but we might see, I cannot imagine how sick Duo would be with a folding screen.
It seems impossible right now.
It does. Completely impossible.
Yeah, with the Tekken folding screens, not only does it not fold out very well because mm-hmm. you have to stretch it in the middle, but the one folding phone that did fold like that had like a big side bezel, like a real big side bezel to fit all those drivers in it. Mm-hmm. The Huawei Mate X is what it's called, I think. It's been so long. I still haven't gotten one of those.
I'm convinced it's not even real.
I want to try one, but
even just think about right now. Think about the full or the duo form factor, not being able to do 360 degrees, but being able to fold open flat, and still have a folding screen. Even just thinking about that is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Especially if somehow it didn't have any bezels either, or like much much smaller bezels.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated by that.
That's how great and how good the form factor feels on the Duo.
You know what the number one thing I got out of that conversation was?
What's that?
We got to get back to that anechoic chamber. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Like, we got to get back.
Seriously.
Like we've described it probably twice now on this podcast, but the little visit we had to Microsoft Labs when we first got that preview of the Duo, when we first saw Panos' matte black version with the camera on the back, when we were first like getting a look at this idea, and he mentioned he was considering having us in even earlier, but all of that was also alongside, like, check out this lab where we do material finishes, and here's how we do the leather, and here's how we do the Alcantara finish on the Surface laptops.
Yeah, 3D printing.
Yeah, 3D printing and stuff, and also some audio testing in the anechoic chamber, and the people involved in that are all awesome. So I would love to bring, I don't know if, here's what I think would happen. Mm-hmm. If we brought all of this podcast equipment into the anechoic chamber, I think you would start to hear more of the coils and the things happening in the equipment itself before you even hear our voices or our body noises.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to know how much different it would be just by where we face the microphones. Like if it were facing too close to the mixer, is it going to start picking up stuff on the mixer? If it faces too close to my chest, is it going to pick up my heartbeat? Like, I want to be in a podcast.
But yeah, so it would be, it's so direct, because the thing you don't realize is when you're sitting in a room and you talk or someone around you talks, the reason that you can tell where they are in the room is because their voice echoes and bounces around the room in a different mm-hmm. way. So it's bouncing off the wall to the right of you and the left of you and behind you, and you can hear how big the room is and you can hear where they are in the room. And when you go in this super, super dark, like, how do I just, soft, whatever, the anechoic chamber, you get in there and someone 12 feet away from you talks, there is absolutely no indication whatsoever of how big the room is. It is just their voice. And you can't even really tell where they are relative to you. They're either right in front of you, next to you, or behind you, but you couldn't tell how far away they are. It's just their voice. And so that's the weirdest thing. I think if we brought this equipment in there, it would just sound like a normal podcast, but even less reverb, because it would just be so directional. If I pointed this at my chest, you would just be hearing whatever's in my chest. I think
it
would be awesome.
Totally wild. It sounds like a dream and a nightmare to edit in terms of like adjusting sound, because I'm so picky with any little type of noise, or which is like why we run a podcast next to a truck yard is beyond me. But also like, yeah, I think you're going to hear some really weird stuff. And I think we also, if we do it, need to get Gopal. Was that his name?
Yeah.
He was arguably one of the most fascinating people I've ever met in tech. And I would love to just do a bunch of tests in there with him and talk to him about tests that he does as well.
Yeah.
And I think it would be fascinating and so much fun. And I think he would love it too, because he just seemed like the type of guy who genuinely, genuinely loves his job. And
seems like he spends a lot of time in there too. Like he's been in there often.
I wonder if that's where he locked himself for quarantine.
Hey, I'd be totally cool with that.
Yeah. Speaking of quarantine, everyone, please wear your masks, because it'll get us over to Seattle quicker, and maybe we can get into there a little faster.
That would be sick. Well, I guess this is our pitch. Microsoft, if you're listening, I'll reach back out to Panos and we'll see if we can actually make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. We are back on pace or on schedule. We'll have our episodes on weekends or on Fridays, actually. And I just can't wait to get back to doing more of this stuff. Techtember rolls on.
It does.
There is a lot more happening on the channel. Stay tuned for that. And of course, the upcoming podcast episodes. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys later.
Waveform is brought to you in part with Studio 71, and our intro-outro music was created by Cameron Barlow.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.